the question is, what are we constantly communicating to our people? Are we just talking about what's happening? Just giving a commentary, that's not the best. Instead of just commenting on what's happening, it's even more important to inspire hope. We've suffered different crises before, but at the end of the day, we always pull through.
That is Simply Focus with Every Channel and Dominic Gilda for live and joy and deep.
Are you ready for this new episode? Then please welcome your hosts, Elfie Cherney and Dominic Godad.
Hello and welcome back, everyone. This is episode number 92, and it is a very special episode addressing the special situation around COVID-19. And we are very excited to be here with Kenneth Kwan today. Hi, Kenneth.
Hi.
It's so great to see you here on Zoom. We've met at the Seoul conference in Budapest, and it was just so lovely to meet you and your wife, Janelle Kwok, just to see how much enthusiasm you spread and how much energy you put out in the world. We've been following you on social media for a longer time, and it's awesome to see what you do.
And we are particularly impressed by the way how you bring out things on social media, and we really resonated with the way you address the corona crisis in your area. And I call it crisis now because I heard for you this was a crisis. You're a board member of the Grace Assembly of God, a big church in Singapore with more than 4,600 members. You're also a conference speaker, author, high performance strategist, working with the solution focused approach. And it was really amazing to see how you addressed the elephant in the room.
And we're happy that we can use this moment where you in Singapore are a few weeks ahead of us and also see what we can learn from you. So we read on Facebook that members of your church were influenced by COVID-19, and we were just interested, how was Solution Focus useful in this situation for you?
Okay, well, it's a whole big process, you know. Maybe I'll just start from the very beginning. On the 12th of February, the Ministry of Health in Singapore announced its first two cases of people being affected, and they are from Grace Assembly of God. So I serve as a board member. I don't work in the church. I just sit into a lot of meetings, board meetings. And every day for the next 12 days, it's been a few more cases every single day, you know, except for just one day. It was a lot of things happening. There was a lot of concerns, fear, and everybody asked that magic question that everybody's, you know, asking, am I affected and who are these people? And I think I've learned a lot about crisis communication during that period of time. I mean, I'm a speaker, so I don't really know how to communicate in crisis, you know. I just speak of what I love to talk about. But I learned so much about communication during this period of time. And I think one of the key things that's happening was because the church was affected. So on the church level, we did a lot of things to protect the congregation from getting infected. You know, there were temperature checks, sanitizers all over, you know, and even traced. We even asked you questions before you came in. So it was a pretty safe process. But we didn't realize one thing, you know, the virus hit the staff, it hit one of the staff members, and after that, this person spread to the rest of the staff. And after a while, we became one of the largest clusters in Singapore. Right now, we are the second largest. So there were 23 over cases affiliated with the Grace Assembly of God cluster. So the views that I'm going to share are really on my own. They are not representing the church, but I'll just share what I saw happen and what I did in response. So I think, in short, the solution-focused approach helped me to basically look at what do we want out of the situation. You know, when the crisis hit us, the press were excited about finding out what happened, you know. It was a very diagnostic process. What happened? Who is it? And they were asking for names, you know. But we were very clear on the board level that we will not reveal names at all because names are confidential and it can become a witch hunt, you know, where we start finding every single bit of information about your family, about you, and things get terrible after that. So we maintain that, okay, you know, if it's hit us, probably what we can do right now is want to mitigate the whole issue by just focusing on what's our best hopes, you know, which is basically to get people to start thinking about what they can do, you know, rather than be fearful. So most people just very worried. So they ask questions like, am I infected? Who is it? Come on, just tell me who is it so that I can know whether it's me or at least I have something to say to my employers. Because a lot of people at the time, a lot of employers were very concerned for them, you know. They'll say, oh, you attend that church, you know, so how do we know that you're not at risk? So all this fear was there, and I think coming up with information information that is relevant and timely. And we started asking ourselves, what is important information that will help people relieve the stress? So I think solution focus doesn't mean ignoring the problem, you know, but it's just addressing the problem and helping the person feel that, okay, there are steps forward. You know, I started to understand that Ministry of Health in Singapore defines close contact as 2 meters and for 30 minutes of exposure. So if you're not spoken to certain key people and you've not been called up by the Ministry of Health within 24 hours, so the chances of you being safe is very high. So by just focusing on the right things is important.
So I heard it's a lot about giving information and giving the important and crucial information and sharing that. And then you also said you started to talk about your best hopes and what you want and invited people to have a dialogue around that instead of who is infected and am I infected too? What difference is that make, that dialogue particularly?
That's important because fear is irrational, you know. So we can't tell people not to fear because they will definitely fear. But with the right amount of information and the timely information, it mitigates the fear into stuff. And then once they can overcome this idea of, okay, you know, I shouldn't be too worried. Or if my employer, for example, is worried, then can I volunteer to start working from home so that it frees up the pressure from the employers to worry about them as well and them infecting the rest of people. A lot of people went to work, they told their employers up front and they said that, okay, I come from that church, but you know, some schools were also very concerned that the children are attending that church. But we said that, you know, if the Ministry of Education don't find that there's a problem, I think you shouldn't just jump the gun, you know. And if the Ministry of Health doesn't think that you are at risk, we shouldn't be quarantining people too quickly. So by focusing on what's important at the point of time, so we started to plan very far ahead. The interesting thing I realized that we started planning like 2-3 weeks ahead, but every single few days, things just changed, totally changed, you know. We realized that whatever plans that we had just threw out the window, we adjust the plans every 2 or 3 days. So I think taking small steps, asking ourselves, is this enough for now? You know, the experimental approach in solution focus, is this enough for now? Is this relevant? Throw it out. So because the corporate communications in Grace Assembly was under tremendous pressure by all the newspapers around in Singapore, there were many, many different, the press were hounding them, this person, and even the international groups were coming in asking for questions, and she had to reply so many of them. I thought there was an opportunity to talk about hope and optimism, you know, in the midst of all this. So that's why I wrote a series of 10 Facebook posts, which eventually became very popular and had like thousands of likes and hundreds of shares, you know, in just a couple of days.
Yeah, I've also written some articles and you'll find all the things that we talk about and even more things that might give hope, might give confidence, might enable you to act deliberately in the right direction, focus on what works and all the things we do in Solution Focus you'll find in the resource section of this podcast. So go to www.sfontour.com/simplyfocuspodcast and then go to episode number 92. One of the main assumptions in Solution Focus is that change is happening all the time. And now we can really see it. Normally, we don't see it that dramatically. Now, every day is changing. Every day, new things are coming out, new information are coming out. Kind of lives of people are changing every day. And you really see it. And you said that you talked about best hopes with your board, with the members of the church. How did you talk about best hopes in this situation?
The good thing about the board was we didn't spend too much time dwelling on what happened. But of course, the beginning was to set the context. And sometimes it's important to visit the feelings and the emotions of the people being affected. But the good thing is the conversation started focusing on, okay, what's next? And what would we like to see be different, you know, in the way we handle the situation moving forward? And that was a very useful question. And the good thing is we started thinking about the members' safety. That doesn't mean we have to suspend the whole church, you know. It was so bad that, in fact, all the staff that were working in the church, all 70 over people were quarantined at home. So the church effectively had no staff. Everybody was locked down at home. But the beautiful thing is we started seeing beautiful stories of how people stepped up. You know, they took over, they took leadership. It was so beautiful that even I could recall people were delivering food packages to all the staff members. I went down to deliver hampers to about 11 people, you know, 11 of the staff members and say, thank you so much for your service and your work. And probably this time is just a time for you to just rest at home and just quarantine yourself from the rest of people. and to encourage them. So you can see people posting on Facebook of all the beautiful things that happened, amazing food they were delivered to their house. And you could see the human spirit behind where people are so supportive. That's something beautiful. Yeah.
I really love what you say here. And this is what we also observe in Europe, like in Italy, people standing on the balconies and singing together. Or the other day I saw a video, someone posting that people also in Italy are standing at their windows and applauding to people. So they recorded on their mobile phones and chairs, standing there, clapping their hands. And also like what we notice right now, that it's a great chance, like in Switzerland, the schools closed as of Monday. So we're at home now and it gives a beautiful chance to talk about different things. So we, Dominic, Bibiana and myself, we had this conversation on Saturday about, wow, if we spend this 3 weeks beautifully together, how will we notice? And we came up with a list of things and it was amazing because Bibi was really engaged. That was the first thing that we really loved. And this is not so easy always. And she stayed with us for 1.5 hours, making a list with things that she would love to do. And there was no thing about watching TV. So there was one thing with making a cinema movie night at home with a screen, but that was the only thing about watching TV. And she loves to watch TV, but there were so many other things we came up with together. And actually, we already started to do that and we see a huge difference. And I think this is a great chance for families coming together in a different way, for communities coming together in a different way, because the connection, even if there is social distance, the connection doesn't stop. And I think it even is fostered, yeah, or nourished. Mm-hmm. Because the beautiful thing is that we are in that all together.
Yes, yeah. You said hope. You would like to see hope or give hope. We say confidence. We just open the room for confidence, an online gathering for people to come together and also learn from each other, learn from stories of what worked, find out for themselves what they want in this situation. And he said, yeah, the situation is here. So we will not talk about that this is not serious. And we can talk about what would you like to see in this situation that we are right now? What do we want in this moment? And how would we notice? And what difference would that make? And then find out what good next ideas, good next steps, or also signs of progress could be. So this is one thing that you did beautifully and also shared on your Facebook posts. And you wrote 2 articles, also addresses aspects like that. So what else is in there in the situation that you went through that we and everybody can learn from?
So for me, I think leaders must bring hope to people. That hope is very, very important because leaders tend to be optimistic, but the rest of the people don't usually share the same level of optimism as the leaders. And I think as a leader, one thing I've learned in the whole crisis is to communicate and over-communicate. Be very, very clear about, you know, what's going to happen next. It's very important. And sometimes leaders just think that, oh, it's going to be obvious, right? I mean, we have thought through many thousands of scenarios, therefore we are choosing this plan. But maybe even sharing with the people the thought process of why you made decisions helps a lot in assuring the people that, yeah, you know, you have thought through, you have went through a long meeting, you've gone through different case scenarios, best hopes, what if situations didn't turn out as well as we did, you know, different case scenarios. And you tell them that, okay, this is the action they're going to take after considering so much. So I think that that's important. And the second thing I think a lot of leaders should do, and I feel sometimes they don't do enough of it, is to just share the human stories behind. Because, you know, numbers, facts or principles or ideas are great, but people need to see how is this applied to their situation. So when we share stories of how people have overcome adversity, what did they do to take care of each other, you know, it stirs the heart. It just makes them feel that, yeah, you know, now I see that it is possible, and it humanizes the whole experience. And you want them to know that there is hope. You know, so I shared even like simple stories. Of course, face masks is very difficult to get right now in Singapore, and I'm sure it is in Europe, right? You know, so there was a lady in church who just started making face masks, and she just gave it away to people, gave it to her neighbors, you know, and that was a beautiful act of love. And gave it to people who were at risk, because those people who suffered from some health issues, they are at bigger risk. And there was another person who had this 5-liter bottle of sanitizer So she said 5 liters is just too much, you know. So why not I break them down into little glass bottles? You know, it has to be glass bottles, not plastic bottles. She made like so many and she just gave it away to people. So I had some of it and there were people giving me this whole bunch of stuff. Then I was just thinking, okay, who do I need? And I was just running through the name list of people that I know and I identified those people who like, you know, just recovered from cancer. Their immunity is not very good and they needed it. And there was another friend of mine who just had a liver issues. He cannot afford to get sick. So we just have to make sure that the resources go to the right people and not to those who are healthy and who don't really need it. So when you start sharing examples of this, people giving flowers, of course, they can't visit the person under quarantine, but they can stand from very far away and talk to the person, you know, through the window grills. They don't even meet, you know. And these are beautiful stories of hope and love, and that stirs the heart.
In my opinion, this is such an important message and really guides my actions too. And you mentioned earlier that fear is around, obviously, because when there is a lot of insecurity and information cannot be given because we simply don't know things. Well, we can predict maybe what next steps of the government might be, but we cannot predict and see what this really means for us because we never were in this situation before, which nourishes the fear for many people, I guess. And then on the other hand, it also nourishes the possibilities and opportunities because it opens up a new world of possibilities to look at. And if we are able to refocus, then I think we made a big step. And if our actions are not guided by fear, but guided by love, then we will make a difference. And this shines through in all your communication, in our conversation right now, and also in all your communication around this topic and also well beyond that for me. So it's really this beauty of acting from a place of love and making a difference from there.
And when we listen to your stories and see what we do and what happens here in Europe, then it also shows that different kind of conversations are important. And it's just so helpful to, what you say, to share those stories, for example, to ask different questions, to have different kind of conversations around hope, around what works, around everything that just, yeah, makes you more able to act.
Yeah, I think I've learned something also a little bit of leadership from using the solution-focused approach, which is basically co-creating, the whole idea of co-creation. Because I think a lot of leaders, they tend to suffer from the messiah complex, where they need to have the brilliant solution, they need to save people, you know, have all the answers to everything. But when I reflect back, you know, in Grace Assembly, because all the staff members were down, half of the leadership team was in the infectious disease center. You know, they were quarantined inside. And a lot of people were just affected. So none of the staff could do anything. But when they started to ask from their people, okay, you know, we can't do anything. In fact, there was a joke that the senior pastor was sharing with me that, you know, they were all in video calls and almost one quarter of all the pictures, the background were all hospital rooms, you know, because they were all isolated and the other three quarter was like all from the homes, you know. So one thing that leaders could do during this period of time is to ask from their people, you know, what could you do? What is something that you could do right now, assuming that the whole leadership structure is now incapable of doing a lot of things? And it's amazing where over 400 people volunteered, you know, they just raise up their hand and say, okay, I'm willing to run errands. I'm willing to deliver food. Just tell me when and where and I'll do it, you know. So it's amazing how when you start asking from people, people actually just volunteer. Of course, I'm assuming that when times are good, you treat them well so that when times are difficult, they know how to step up and respond to you.
Isn't that a beautiful example? One of the things that's also very dear to our heart actually is to make visible that through the questions we ask, we start to focus on different things and we start inviting people to talk about different things. And the questions or the dialogues we have can contribute a lot to nourish hope, to nourish confidence and to reduce fear. And if we start to share those stories, as you said, if we start to ask ourselves what tiny little thing can we do right now in order to contribute to our preferred future or to a better future or to handle the situation better, then I think we start to be able to act and we see that we can make a difference and that again brings hope and confidence.
Yep.
And it all very well connects to your book, Small Steps to Big Changes, because these are small steps, you could say, well, just with different story out in the internet, the world wide web. And it's a part of a possible big change, just started with this little spark that can, well, become a huge flame or, yeah, huge movement going on.
And you mentioned earlier, Kenneth, that you're like 5 weeks ahead of us. So what changed and where are you right now? In terms of COVID-19?
No, because you're in Europe, so you'll be curious. You'll probably be reading a lot more right now. Why Singapore is a lot prepared? Because we had SARS in 2002. So we knew exactly what were the risks. It affected us as well. So anything that was an infectious disease, we are like ready to handle it. You know, we have all the processes and we don't treat it lightly yet because we know it can really go out of hand. So in the first few weeks when Singapore was hit with the COVID-19, late January, you know, there will be a few cases here and there. And after that, gets more and more. In the beginning, people just didn't really bother very much. They just think that, oh, it's just that few cases until it started to spread, you know, and they started tracing the clusters. The first month, that's where you start seeing people, they don't go out. The restaurants will be empty. Businesses will definitely be affected. Every single group, you know, because of the social distancing concept, people will be locked in. And after a while, it tends to be just staying at home. And I think there's some good in it. You know, at the end of the day, families spend a lot of time together, sometimes too much time. You know, they get on each other's nerves. But I think it's really family time, you know, and busy Singaporeans now can actually stay at home and spend time with family. We have not closed any schools yet right now because we still feel that it hasn't hit the schools yet. So, but with our careful measures that are in place, you know, our temperature taking and so forth, hygiene practices. So for the first few months, you can see there's literally nobody. So when I went out during that period of time, I remember I was in Sentosa Island, a popular place for tourists. Every weekend, there'll be thousands and thousands of people on the beach. But that particular Saturday that I went, there were only like 40 people that I could see, you know. So I feel that I can own the beach, you know, and do stuff that I could never do. So if you're adventurous, there's literally no queue in a lot of places. But having said that, there's a lot of concerns as well. So for the first month, I think in Singapore, people literally trapped themselves at home. But eventually, the beautiful thing is, I think from the fifth week onwards, we can start seeing that people started going out again. Of course, they kept their distance from each other. But I can see more slowly, more and more human traffic. And that's good because I have this idea that if the businesses don't earn money, it's going to lead to an economic nightmare after that. You know, so it's going to get worse and worse. So it's good that people are spending money. And of course, a lot of landlords, they are reducing the rent or they are giving a few months off the rent. Measures are taken by the government to support businesses in some ways. But the good news is after 5 weeks, we can see people coming back out again. Are they afraid? I don't think they are as afraid as they are, you know, initially. Of course, those who are very concerned for themselves, they still wear the mask. We take whatever precautions. We are just trying to avoid places with too many people. But I was in a hawker center in Singapore. It was flooded with people. There's so many people. But I guess people, after a while, just get tired of staying at home too long.
And talking about business, I think a lot of people are really confronted, and I see, so the one thing are the big corporations, and I think they often have different possibilities compared to SMEs, small or medium-sized enterprises. So I guess a lot of them might really suffer. So if you have an idea for them, what would that be right now?
Yeah, as a speaker, I get to speak in a lot of conferences. And a lot of conferences that I'm supposed to speak in were all cancelled. So imagine right now I'm supposed to be in Maldives. So I'm supposed to be there for 1 week speaking and then doing training with different leadership teams. But it's all gone, you know. I bought tickets for my whole family to be there as well, you know, so we could have a good time. But you know, I cancelled the tickets. So what could businesses do, especially the small, medium enterprises? So I think, you know, just recently I had a lot of phone conversations with leaders, a lot of my clients. So I asked them what is important to you. I think we all share the same sentiments is right now it's an unprecedented time. It's probably never affected so many people. I mean, for us, it's probably the first time in our whole lives, right, facing such a crisis. For Singapore, it's probably the second time that we're facing this. But I think it's a good time to constantly connect with your clients, to talk to them. If you can't see them, it's fine. Call them over the phone, have a video conference, constantly talk about them, uncover what are the challenges and offer possibilities and solutions with them. So I think having even more conversations with clients is very important, because sometimes when you're busy, you don't have that amount of time with your clients. You know, we always say that speaking with clients is very important, but not many people actually have very in-depth conversations. And even asking them what are their best hopes. Suppose if things were different, what would you want to see different, you know? So when you start talking to them, you realize that you're engaging them in conversations. And this is important, because when times get better, it's just a matter of time. We will definitely be in a position to rebound quickly. And the best part is, because you are in constant contact with them, you are always in their mind. You know, they will remember you. Oh yeah, you know, Kenneth, you spoke to me every month about certain things. You shared ideas. You shared what are the best practices of different organizations. You shared how leaders inspire hope, you know. And this is what we've been doing as well. And these are things that can happen. So I think this is a downtime. It's the best time to learn a lot of things. The best time to even improve your website. You know, work on your business processes so that you make sure that when times are better, you're ready. And I think also one challenge for us is also rethinking how business is done. So traditionally, we have been doing a lot of face-to-face programs. So can we uncover online short courses, design that we can get people to come in? So bearing in mind, this is not just a global crisis where we talk about the virus. It's also an economic crisis as well. It's going to be one after another, or it could be both at the same time. But we need to be able to rebound back quickly.
I love how you highlight to stay in contact with your customers. And I think I would love to add something here, because for some, it might not be possible to stay in close contact with their customers. Like, I'm thinking of restaurants right now. My parents ran a restaurant, so this is a business that's very close to my heart. Mm-hmm. And yet, one thing you mentioned is to really focus on the time after and to focus on things maybe you usually don't have the time to do, like giving your website a new style, or maybe overworking the menu or whatever it is. And on the other hand, I think one thing that's really important is to maintain conversations about what we want, about our preferred future, about how we want to look back in a year from now to this time and what we did brilliantly. And I mean, things like a dear friend of mine, Ira Mollai, who was on a podcast earlier as well, she made a very beautiful video where she highlights the climate crisis is not gone. It's still here. Well, to think about those things as well, and that it's important to do things in a respectful way, that it's important to support each other. And this is not only now, but this should stay afterwards as well, and to focus on those things. I think the time is a good time right now to do that.
Yep.
And since everybody is very challenged right now, we don't have a challenge of the week in this podcast, because you have enough challenges right now. And you heard a lot of things that Elfie just said that could be a good next small step. We heard a lot of things that Kenneth said, that we said in a podcast, that might be inspiring for you, that might be something small you could do. And I would love to mention your book again, Small Steps to Big Changes, Create the Change You Want Now, and invite you, Kenneth. What could be a small next step for people out there?
I think for leaders, if you are a leader, you're leading a team or organization, the question is, what are we constantly communicating to our people? Are we just talking about what's happening? Just giving a commentary, that's not the best. It's very important to, instead of just commenting on what's happening, it's even more important to inspire hope. We've suffered different crises before, but at the end of the day, we always pull through. We always see people rise up and share stories of how different groups of people, how they withstand different crises and they got better. So that's something that I feel leaders must constantly share with their people as well. And to share that they really care, they care for their people during this period of time. And I think if you are a facilitator or a trainer, you know, running your own business, I think it's just rethinking the business model as well. So a lot of our in-person deliveries are all affected. Elfie, you know, you talked about your parents run a restaurant. I'll be curious to see whether they could offer delivery services, you know, food that goes out to people, because everybody's staying in, right? You don't know what's going out. So that could be an opportunity to just explore. But it requires us to rethink. It's a good time to just examine that. because when we are so busy with the operational things, we don't usually think ahead. But this business environment has forced us to rethink how to do business as well. Even right now, we're looking at how to create a program online, a whole delivery online, and at the same time, engage our leaders in conversations consistently using Zoom calls, you know, maybe creating a product at the end of the day for it. So there are different ideas. So I think if you're a facilitator, trainer, is to rethink and to react differently as well. For everyone, don't read the news too much because the news are only exciting when, you know, reporters are always finding issues and problems with the world. Don't be too caught up in it, but instead probably always reflect back on what's working well as well. You know, so I force myself to ask, okay, I know there are problems, but what's the silver lining, you know? So I started writing down in a recent Facebook post that, hey, you know, the good thing that's happening, China can see clear skies again. They've never seen a blue sky for a very long time, for 3 years, 4 years, you know, because of the pollution. So they can finally see and they realize that, of course, global warming is probably pushed backwards a little bit during this crisis. And you can see families coming together, spending so much time and work. People are redefining work. And so I think there's a silver lining, you know, at the end of the day. But for the silver lining in the clouds, you must first have a rainfall. So I think there's hope.
So share the good news with each other and share what's working, share the beautiful stories and engage in conversations that give hope and confidence.
And now, of course, we're curious, what gives you hope? What inspired you with this podcast? What is it that you think might be useful for you? And please share in the comment section of this podcast. Go to www.sfontour.com/simplyfocuspodcast and then to episode number 92.
And if you want to engage in conversations about confidence, about hope, about your preferred future, about what's working in the right direction already, about amplifying useful change, then please join our online gathering Room for Confidence. You will find all the details in the resource section of this podcast. So please go check it out and join us. We are looking forward to meeting you in person online.
And if you're listening to this podcast on a podcast app, then you can easily go to www.sfontour.com/stayconfident and you'll find all the information there. And we also put all the information about Kenneth Kwan in the resource section, his website, deepimpactonline.com. There's a blog, there are articles, there are many, many good things that you can learn from Kenneth also in other situations. And we'll also put other resources from solution-focused friends and people that we think they have messages that are really worth spreading because they're messages of hope, messages of confidence, messages that enable you to deal with the situation, whatever and wherever you're in right now, in a better way.
Thank you very much, Kenneth, for taking the time to have this conversation with us. We highly appreciate that, and we highly appreciate all the things you do. So just keep going, and thank you very much for all the beautiful work you do.
And if you're looking forward to a regular podcast with Kenneth Kwan, with a regular challenge of the week, and with his fascinations for solution focus and his work he also does, then stay tuned. We'll have him soon on the Simply Focus podcast.
So thank you very much for listening and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
This was Simply Focused Podcast with Alfie Cherney and Dominic Godat, your podcast for a life in joy and ease.